come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. If you would, please remove your hats. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
This is my country. Stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that
Perry. The National Day of Prayer was created in 1952 by a joint resolution of Congress, and it was signed into law by then President Harry S. Truman. But it was in 1988 that the law was unanimously amended by both the House and the Senate and signed into law by President Ronald Reagan on Thursday, May 5th, 1988, 30 years ago, that designated the first Thursday of May as the Day of National Prayer for the United States of America. Not that it was until 1952 or 1988 that we began to pray, or all of a sudden we learned the importance of prayer, but prayer to the God of heaven has been critical all throughout the life of this nation, in the formation and the foundation especially. It was actually the very first president of the United States, George Washington, that called for the nation's first, quote, federal day of prayer. According to President Washington, he said this: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will and to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." End of quote. Benjamin Franklin, they were 5 weeks into the Constitutional Convention, 5 weeks in 1787. They were attempting to draft the Constitution of the United States, and they were failing miserably. And as things were beginning to break up and the delegates were about ready to go home, Franklin challenged them and called them to prayer. And this is what Benjamin Franklin said, quote, "In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish when it is even presented to us, how has it happened that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were in sensible danger, Franklin said we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend, or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? He said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Benjamin Franklin concluded his remarks with this sentence, I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberation be held in this assembly, not once a year, but every morning before we do business. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer was the critical component that brought this nation into existence. And I believe that prayer is the critical component that is going to lend toward this nation's survival. Prayer not only seeks the favor of God and the forgiveness of God and the healing hand of God upon our land, but it gives us the divine assistance going forward, and it brings us together. Prayer builds bridges. It reminds every single one of us that we were created in the image of God, and it brings unity. In 2018, the theme for the National Day of Prayer is to pray for America, hashtag unity.
Let me say first what honor this is for me to have a small part in this today. When I was preparing to think about what I was going to say, I began to think about how important that prayer really is in our lives. But just as important as praying is, how we pray is also just as important. When we realize the enormous amount of problems that we as a country face, that we as a people face, then the Bible is really true when it tells us in the book of Romans, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But then it tells us that the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So as we seek the Lord's presence today, may we today be mindful of the Holy Spirit's presence to guide and direct us. And may we pray and ask for the Lord's help. When the Lord encourages us to pray, there is a word that seems to be parallel with every time there's a verse about prayer is. It tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Thanksgiving, being grateful, seems to accompany a prayer. I know America today has many problems, but we also need to be thankful for where we live, that we are able to assemble here this morning and be able to have this kind of meeting. I just finished reading a biography of a young man by the name of Joseph Kim. He's 27 years old at this time. He was born and raised in North Korea. In 1995, he was 5 years old when the famine hit in North Korea. For the next 15 to 16 years of his life, his only thought was to get food and to stop the hunger pains in his stomach. So when we pray, I want to simply say to you that we need to be thankful for where we are. I know we got problems, but we need to be thankful at least for what the Lord has done. James tells us this. He said, you have not because you ask not. With all the problems and the difficulties that we do not pray. This, let's just be honest with it for a moment. We as God's people, we don't pray. We don't pray with a fervent prayer. And because we think we are because of this, I think the need is that we think we're self-sufficient, that we think we can handle things. And yet God tells us it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We think reality is that we don't need him. Yet Jesus said this to us, without him, we can do nothing. I believe in what 2 Chronicles says. I believe that if our people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked way, then he will hear from heaven and heal this land. I believe that with all my heart. But the question begs ourselves, why don't we do it? Because Jesus said that they that are whole need not the physicians. We need to come to the place in our lives where we realize that we're no longer whole, that we need him more than any other time in our lives. We need to pray that our people, God's people, would seek his face and see their need of him, that we see ourselves as God sees us, that we pray to be thankful and to pray to be our need. Then there's a final thing I think we need to pray for. We need to pray that we will believe in what the Word of God says. God spoke, it says, and said, let there be light, and there was light. When Jesus comes back at the second and the second coming and the battle of Armageddon, all he's going to have to do is just speak. And in 1 second, that battle will be over with. We need to understand how powerful that God's word is, how powerful that his word is, and that it will not return back to him void, but it will accomplish what he set it out to do. Jesus said to some Pharisees these words, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, you do not believe. When the word of God is allowed to abide in us, and when we pray and we seek his face, we really begin to believe what God says. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, do not defend God's word, but testify to it. Trust the word with all your heart and all your soul. To believe means to have a confident conviction that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, that he will do what he said he would do, and he promises he will keep his promises for what he said. Let's pray to be thankful, and let's pray to convince our people and the rest of us of our need of him. But let's also pray and trust in the word of God, that God means what he says and he will do. And so today, as we pray for our local community and our leaders and for our local churches and spiritual leaders in those churches, and let me bring this about. Our mayor is not here with us today. He's always attended these meetings, but his mother-in-law passed away, and so we will remember him in prayer today also. Father, let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the mighty God Jesus, and we thank you, Father, that you have told us in your word that this is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to his will, you hear us. Jesus, you told us to ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find, and knock, and it'll be open unto us. For everyone that asks, receive, and he that seeketh, findeth, and he that knocketh, it's open unto him. You've told us hitherto, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so, Lord, we come, and we bring our community people and our leaders. We pray for our mayor today. We pray that you would be with his, especially his wife, and the loss of her mother and our mayor and the loss of his mother-in-law. And Lord, we ask for a blessing upon that family today. We ask for a blessing in unity for not only our mayor, but our county judge. And we ask, Father, for a blessing upon all city and county officials today. And Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom and a determination to take what Matthew 6:33 says, to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and that all these other things will be added unto them. I pray today, Father, for our police. And we know, Father, that their job is already hard enough, but we live in a day and in a society that's making their job harder. May we today, Father, stand with them. May we know that, let them know that they're not alone, and not only them, but also our sheriff and our deputy sheriffs. May they know that we as the people of Winchester stand in unity with them, and that without them, our city and our county would be lawless. And so, Father, we ask you to do this. We not only pray for them, we pray also, Father, for our firemen, and we pray for their protection. And we pray, Father, that no hurt or harm would come to them. We pray that you would build a hedge around them and keep them safe. Father, we pray for unity within those departments, and they'll work together for the betterment of our community. Father, we pray for our schools, and we pray, Father, first for our students. And Lord, we know that we're living in a time in which many, many cities and counties have experienced terrible tragedies. We pray, Father, today that you would build a hedge around us, and that 1,000 may fall by our side and 10,000 by our right hand, but it will not come nigh our children and our schools. May we never experience what other communities has experienced. And Lord, I pray that we would also pray for our superintendent and our teachers and our administrators, that Lord, that you would give them a spirit of wisdom, a spirit, Father, where that they would be discerning and to know that whatever they allow or bring into our public schools could have a devastating effect if we are not careful. So Lord, I pray for our teachers, I pray for our administrators, I pray for those that are our janitors and cooks and all those, Father, and I pray that you would bless them in this way. And then, Father, I pray for our churches. And I pray, Father, that every church would be alive and well. I pray for an anointing upon their pastors, and that the Holy Spirit would be so real to them that when they stand in their pulpits, they will not look at their sermons necessarily, but they'll look to know that the Spirit of the living God dwells upon them. And that, Lord, whatever they say comes from Jesus and His Word. That the words of their mouth and the meditation of their heart would be acceptable in your sight, and that you would do such a work in their heart, Father, that their heart would almost jump out of them because they know it is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that guides and directs every word that they say. I pray, Father, for the congregations of these churches, that they would support their ministers, and that, Father, knowing that if they have a critical spirit, it will harm them because it will harm their pastors. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with them. May unity be in this city. May we come to a place, Father, that we know that you love us and care for us more than anything else. May it be said by Winchester, Kentucky, that the Spirit of the living God lives here. And we ask all those things in the mighty name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Cruz. What a tremendous thought that we have to gather together and just call on the name of the Lord. My name is Alan Hutchinson. I'm fairly new among you. My family has called Winchester Clark County home over the last couple of years. I pastor at First Church of God, and I certainly want to thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you about one of the most important things that we do together as the body of Christ is when we gather together and we pray. We simply call upon the name of the Lord. We ask Him to move in many areas in our community, in our commonwealth, and certainly in our country. As I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you just for a few moments this afternoon and then lead in a prayer for our commonwealth, I thought about the text that has been given to us for the National Day of Prayer dealing with unity. The scripture is Ephesians 4:3 that says, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And as I begin to think about that, I think about the words of Jesus as He prayed. Because I think as we gather here and we talk about prayer, we would be remiss if we didn't look to the one who is the subject of Christianity and look at what He would say in times of prayer. In John 17, Jesus prays what we call that great high priestly prayer. It's a powerful prayer. I would encourage you today to read that when you go home. I'm only going to share just a short portion of it. In one passage of the scripture, in the first five verses, He prays for Himself. In the other verses in that particular passage of John 17, He prays for the disciples that was with Him then. It's in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, starting in verse 20. I want you to notice His prayer for all of us. Because He not only prays for Himself and His disciples, He prays for you and me right now, and here's what it sounds like. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that's us, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them, I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. In this passage of Scripture, I see that We may come from different church groups, different denominations, different walks of life, but as Christ followers and as believers in Jesus Christ, one of the things that we can do that's most powerful is when we join together in unity and when we pray. I find it amazing that Jesus said, the world, those who don't know Christ, those who are lost without Him, will not understand who He is by the sizes of our buildings, by our corporate charters, by our thoughts and ideas individually. But Jesus says, the world will know that I am who I am and that the Father has sent me the Son when we are one, when we are united. That's why it's so great to come together in this moment with the body of Christ here in Winchester in Clark County and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. To stand here on this courthouse step and to ask God Almighty to show His favor on us once again, to bring a reviving and a renewing among us. As a matter of fact, one of the central themes in this whole time this year is the idea of revival, reviving. And my understanding of revival is, it's not for that person who does not know Christ necessarily, it's for you and I who need to be familiar again. That as Pastor Cruz said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will begin a healing process and I'll begin a reviving process that no one else can. That's what I'm encouraged about. That today, as the world walks by us here on this courthouse step, they hear a message of love, a message of unity, and a message that will transform their lives from the sin and the misdirection their lives are in right now. I want to encourage you, not just today, but throughout this week, to lift up these prayers and these scriptures and these words, to pray as one, to love each other. In Clark County and Winchester, the church needs to come together now more than ever to lift up the name of Jesus and to serve. I leave you with the words of Jesus, who leads us not just in this example of prayer, but who also leads us in our example of living. For the I, your Lord and Master, have not come to be served, but to serve others and to give my life a ransom for everyone, for many. I would ask you to join me in my prayer emphasis this afternoon and agree with me together as we pray for our commonwealth. And in that, all of the various offices and people involved in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you, God, for Kentucky. Lord, I imagine and I can see in the words of Jesse Stewart, Lord, how I agree and we all agree Kentucky is my land. Lord, we love our state. We love our Commonwealth. Lord, from the mountains that roll from the eastern part of the state, through the central area, the bluegrass, out to where the rivers begin, the lakes begin to run together toward Paducah. What a beautiful place you have created for us as Kentuckians to enjoy. Help us, Father, to be good stewards of our environment and our state. Lord, to take care of what you've entrusted to us. Lord, to love people who live here as we've never loved before. To remember, God, that you have placed us here not by chance or not by circumstances. Lord, every one of us are here right now for a reason. There's a purpose for us being here. And Lord, as the church gathered here right now, that purpose is to show our community, Lord, that we are one. That we walk together in unity and prayer and love. We want to extend mercy and grace. But Lord, at the same time in that, we're reminded that call to repentance and revival. Lord, I specifically today pray for our commonwealth, starting first of all with our governor, Matt Bevin, and his family. I ask you, Lord, to be with them, to comfort, to strengthen, and to bless them, to give them wisdom and leadership, Lord, that they do not have, but it would come from you. I pray, Lord, for every state employee and their family of this commonwealth, God, that they would sense the love that we have for them, the thanksgiving that we have for their service to this commonwealth. Would you bless them and their families? I pray, Lord, for our state senate and every member and the leadership in our senate. I pray also for our representative, our senator, Dr. Alvarado, and his family. I ask you, Lord, to be merciful, to bless, to lead and direct them, and keep them in your comfort and in your care. I pray for our state legislature, the members and the leadership there, and for our representative in the state legislature, Miss Donna Mayfield and her family. I pray, Lord, that you would bless and you would minister to them and care for them. Lord, I pray that even though many times we may have differences of opinions and ideas, Lord, we're thankful that as Christians we never allow these differences to come between us and the body of Christ. Lord, that while we may be in disagreement, Lord, we do not have to be disagreeable. We can reach a hand of fellowship. We can offer a word of prayer, and we can offer a word of encouragement, regardless of our differences. Because, Lord, ultimately, as your followers, as Jesus' people, you call us to have this kind of impact in the world around us. That while we may disagree, we're not disagreeable. That while we may have differences of opinion, we're still united in Christ. Because, Lord, ultimately, when we reach that day and we stand before you, our judgment will not necessarily come from how we agreed and disagreed on minutia matters. But Lord, it will come because of that relationship that we have with your Son, Christ. And our desire is to, Lord, to be revived today, to be encouraged and renewed, so that we can take this message of peace and unity to all those around us who do not know you as Lord and Savior, and that we will stand with them on that day, having not come alone. But our life and our witnesses have had an impact on the people who need Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. Thank you for everyone who is gathered here. Lord, we humbly ask this prayer in the name that's above every name on heaven and on earth, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you.
Good afternoon. I'm here this afternoon to give a word and to offer prayers for healing for our community and our nation. We understand that that our nation is going through a bit of a transition. Our communities are being challenged with various trials and tribulations and family issues and opioid epidemics that surround us. And I'm here today to give a word of encouragement as these pastors are so eloquently offered. They've so suggested to us, and there's been a common theme of scripture that has been recited in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. But I like what he says in the following verse. He says, then I will open my eyes, and then I'll open my ears, and I will be attentive to their prayers offered in this place. And I'm reminded that whenever I go to the doctor, oftentimes not everyone is honest with the doctor about what they're really dealing with in terms of their issues of sickness. And I believe that if we're going to experience healing in our nation and our community, we must become honest. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and 9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is the healing that can bring us together? What is the healing that can help us to operate and to work together for common bonds and common goals? I believe that is the love of Jesus Christ. I just believe that above all else, we ought to love each other, because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. The Bible also says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, how will they know that we have passed from death to life except by the love we show to the brethren? He that loveth not the brethren abideth in death. How shall we bring each other together across lines of race, class, and culture, economics, and political affiliation? It's the love we show to one another. Well, where does that love stem from? That love stems from a God that looks beyond all of our faults and sees our needs. The God that picks us up from the depths of despair and the darkness of sin and brings us together with a common love that's found through the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that covers us and cleanses us and washes us white as snow. And if we believe in that power, the blood that was able to heal us, deliver us, and set us free, then we ought to also apply that blood to our hearts, that we may then begin to love one another deeply and richly. So as we turn our hearts and our minds to this time of prayer this afternoon, I pray that each and every one of us would just be honest with God today and begin to open our hearts to say, God, we know we're not perfect. God, we know that we've sinned and fallen short of your glory, but we're so thankful that your grace is sufficient. We're so thankful that your grace has allowed us to be here this day to offer prayers for healing for our nation. Won't you join me in a word of prayer? Eternal God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege to come to you this afternoon in prayer. We thank you, God, that you are a sovereign God, that God, in spite of our own sins, weaknesses, and our own mistakes, Father, your love, God, has reached way down to pick us up. We thank you for that love that you demonstrated on Calvary's cross when you sent your son Christ to die for our sins. Father, we thank you that that same blood that ran down his face, side, and his feet, that soaked that hill called Calvary, is the same blood that brings us together today to petition to you for healing. Father, we confess to you that we have not been a perfect nation. We have not been perfect political leaders. We have not been perfect administrators. We have not been perfect civic leaders, social leaders. But Father, we do thank you that, God, even in our imperfections, your love still perfects us. We thank you, O God, that we have a nation in which we can be free to speak freely, love freely, worship freely, to serve freely. We thank you, O God, that you have given us political leaders such as our president, vice president, and our speakers and senators and congressmen and women that serve this country faithfully and diligently. Father, we ask an endowment of your Holy Spirit upon them, that they would feel, God, the spirit of this nation that you put together, the spirit of this nation that is built upon democratic ideals and justice for all. God, we ask right now that you would just cover our political leaders in Washington. God, surround our leaders around this nation as they make decisions that impact not only this country but the world. We ask you, God, to give them wisdom. Give them a special understanding, God, to know that the decisions that they make are not decisions that just shall affect us, but that shall affect generations to come. Father, heal our land from the political divides that so separate us even now, that even though there might be Republican and Democrat and Libertarian and all these particular perspectives, Father, join us together under the God that joined this nation together, for this nation was joined together under your sovereign hand. Reunite us under the mission of allowing your name to be made great and where we can worship and pray and celebrate your goodness together. Father, we pray even now, God, for our leaders, God, across this nation, not just our president and vice president, his cabinet. We pray for our secretaries of state. God, we pray, God, for our economic advisors. We pray for our ambassadors that represent this country and in countries abroad. Father, we pray even now for our secretaries of defense. We pray, God, for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Father, we pray for the Speaker of the House. We pray for the Senate majority and minority leaders. Father, we pray for every special committee of Congress. Father, we need you to touch them today. Father, we need your spirit to go to Washington right now. We need your spirit, God, to go to the Pentagon right now. Father, we need your spirit, God, to be exalted and lifted up, that we may see your presence in this country. Father, we ask you to empower us today to be a voice for the voiceless and to stand up and speak truth to power. Thank you, O God, for the privilege to pray. Father, we're calling upon your name today. You said, God, where two or three are gathered, there shall you be in the midst. So Father, let this place be your habitation. Let our hearts be your dwelling place. Father, we salute you today, for you are the giver and sustainer of life. You are the redeemer of our souls. And Father, we give you all credit and glory. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you, pastors Marvin, Allen, and Brother Lee. Our hope is that individuals like you and me, churches, spiritual leaders, civic leaders, that we all will humble ourselves and unify in prevailing prayer. That's the only way, according to the Bible, that's the only way that we will experience another great move of God. And that'll catapult the message of the gospel and bring a spiritual awakening to our nation again. Dr. Ronnie Floyd said this: there is no greater movement of God that has ever occurred that does not begin with extraordinary prayer from God's people. And so what we'd like to do over the next 5 minutes is if we would gather in little pockets of prayer, maybe 3 to 5, 7, whatever you want, and if 1 or 2 or 3 people would like to pray out loud in that group to lead that little group in prayer, and then Brother Bill Keller will come and close our National Day of Prayer for 2018. But if you just gather in little pockets of prayer, if you'd like to pray alone, that's okay too, but if you just wait here in just a few moments, Brother Keller will come and close us out in prayer. But if you'd join us for prayer at this time.
As we close today, we thank each one of you for coming and uniting, standing together as a body of Christ. As already has been spoken, apart from Christ Jesus, we can do nothing. But let me encourage you, as the Apostle Paul said, therefore, my brethren, be strong, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor, your prayer, your diligence, it's not in vain. Let us pray together today as we close. Almighty God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We know that it is your will that we abide together in the unity of your Spirit. So today, Father, we thank you for renewing our heart, for refreshing our mind, so that we may become to be one, just as you and your Son, Jesus Christ, are. Thank you for the walls of division that are being torn down. Thank you for the darkness, the evil, and the wickedness that works diligently to hinder this great bond of peace to be destroyed. You are our God. There is none like you. We honor and we praise you this day for your presence, for your mighty working power in this city and throughout this great nation. We leave this place today knowing that victory is ours, knowing that the spirit of unity and the bond of peace has been loosed this day over the city of Winchester and Clark County, up over the state of Kentucky, up over all 50 states, Lord, this great country of America. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your mercies. We thank you for victory that you have won, and we give all glory and honor to you. For it's all in Christ Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together says, amen.
When Jesus and his disciples left the upper room, heading to the Mount of Olives, they sang a hymn together. And as we leave this place together and go out into our homes, our workplaces, all throughout Clark County, let us sing this prayer together.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
You're dismissed.